standing ovation.
When the truth of God is actually communicated
It sustains the power to lift people from their current level to higher levels and dimensions in the spirit. In Ezekiel chapter 2, from verse 1 and 2, it says, Son of man, stand upon your feet. And he had no strength, no capacity to stand beyond that realm. Verse 2 says, And the Spirit entered me when he spake unto me and set me upon my feet. We do not rise by intention alone. It takes more than desire and intention to rise. We rise in life on the strength of the knowledge and the understanding that we have. The life that we have received in this kingdom is knowledge dependent. So it is possible that even though you are a recipient of the life of God, your experience will be bankrupt of the potential of that life because the requisite level of knowledge. And the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 2, it says, And if any man think that he knoweth anything, he says, Let him know that he knoweth not as he ought to know. That means there is a standard allocated for every result. You do not freelance knowledge in this kingdom. There is a standard of knowledge you must attain unto that is equivalent to every outcome. I would always liken it to the performance of a student in school. If a student scores the grade F, F may not necessarily be a zero point. It may just mean he did not pass enough to cross that boundary. So if you have 29%, it is still F. If you have 37%, it is still F. In fact, if you have 39%, it is still F. Is that true? So if you say all those who scored F stand here, the person who did not write the exam, and the one who came here and did not do well, the one with 1, 0, 10, 15, anything less than 40 will stand in the same room. So do not say I have knowledge. Is it enough to produce the results you desire? This is the reason why God keeps helping us through conferences like this to add line upon line, the Bible declares, precept upon precept. Yesterday's knowledge may not be sufficient for today's result. It is the reason why our hearts must be ever open. Are we together now? It's just to stimulate our appetites to be passionate about the Word. In truth, when you have understanding of the Word, it translates into what we call dominion. You may have heard me teach and say that dominion in this kingdom is not an impartation. Dominion is the resultant effect of your comprehending the truth and the mysteries of the kingdom. If you are bankrupt of the requisite level of spiritual knowledge, you cannot have dominion in experience. Hallelujah. And it has pleased the Lord by His wisdom in this conference to explore a very deep and profound system of advantage in this kingdom that in truth only very few have been able to study and press into. But for the few that have been able to press into this mystery, they have experienced profound advancement in their lives. Hallelujah. No life has an advantage by default. No life and no destiny has an advantage by default. The advantage that we enjoy in this kingdom and in destiny is outsourced. When we begin to introduce to our lives true knowledge, the mysteries that I call systems of advantage. So every life by default is already programmed for failure by reason of the fallen man and the fallen nature. Nobody based on the realities of the fallen nature is ever destined to a life of beauty and color and glory to the standard God intended. It is now your assignment on receiving the life of God to work in partnership with the Word of God and the ministry of the Holy Spirit to now begin to introduce into your destiny the things I call the systems of advantage. Among them, favor. Among them, wisdom. Among them, longevity. So when you find out that a believer's life begins to blossom and excel, like the tree that the psalmist said, he shall be like a tree. But that tree blossoming is a reaction. The Bible says when he's planted by the riverside, a source of water, As he receives that water, which is the word, it begins to translate to a blossoming tree. Are we together now? I'm teaching tonight on speed. And this is a very deep subject that I wish we had all the time to do justice for, but then within the time that we have to explore this, I pray in the name of Jesus that our hearts and our spirits will be attentive, because I give you a guarantee by the integrity of the Word of God, your life will never move at a natural frequency from tonight. In the name of Jesus. That for many of you, it will take a telescope to look at the former place where you were, and you will wonder that you have been that stone. May God grant you speed. Let's begin our reading tonight with a very interesting story in the Bible. I love Bible stories because the mysteries of the kingdom are usually hidden in stories, hidden in parables and principles. I think I have taught here in this church that essentially the Bible contains three things. Every time you open scripture to study, you are exploring three dimensions of God's word. Number one, promises. Number two, principles. Number three, prophecies. Let me take it one more time for emphasis. That every time you open up your Bible, you are encountering three dimensions, any or all of these three. You are encountering the promises of God, you are encountering the principles of the kingdom, or you are encountering the prophetic dimension of the word. Hallelujah. Are we together? So Genesis chapter 27, please. From verse 1. This is Isaac deciding that his time was coming to an end, and then wanting to bless his son Esau. I'd like us to look and we'll learn a very powerful lesson. Please be patient while I read. And it came to pass, as one says, that when Isaac was old and his eyes were dim, so that he could not see, the Bible says he called on Esau, Esau being his eldest son, and then he said unto him, my son, and he said, behold, I am here. Verse 2 now. And he said, I know not the day of my death. He said, verse 3. Now therefore, he says, I pray thee, take thy weapon. Please pay attention. The man who is speaking to him is not a poor man. The man speaking to him is not a failure. It was very natural for the people in those days to measure wealth by the abundance of the cattle and so on and so forth. And as he would be learning, there was already cattle somewhere in his house. And yet he told his son, he said, I want to bless you, but I need you to take your weapon, your quiver, and your bow, and go to the field, he says, and take me some venison. Verse 4. He says, and make this savory meat such as I love, and bring it to me that I may eat, and that my soul may bless me before I die. I can spend all the night here teaching you the reason why many people do not access the prophetic speaking from fathers. Because it takes more than bowing your head to receive a blessing. There is a state that the spirit of a man must assume for blessings to fully flow. This is a father speaking to his son. He said, if I just speak it with empty words, there is a level of joy that comes by reason of the investment you make in me that makes my speaking over your life become potent. But that is not where we are going to. Verse 5. Let's continue. He says, and Rebecca heard. Now, this is the problem. Rebecca, here is his mother. Rebecca heard when Isaac spoke to Esau, his mom. And Esau went to the field to hunt for venison and to bring it. Verse 6. Rebekah spake unto Jacob, the younger son now, saying, behold, I heard thy father speak to Esau, thy brother, saying, 7. Bring me venison and make me savory meat, that I may eat and bless thee before the Lord, before my death. Verse 8. Now therefore, my son, obey my voice according to that which I command thee. It says, go now to the flock and fetch me thence 2 kids of the goat, and I will make them separately for thy father, such as he loveth. And thou shalt bring it to thy father, that he may eat, and he may bless you before his death. Well, was their feast to nations. And Jacob said to Rebekah his mother, behold, Esau my brother is a hairy man, and I am a smooth man. Verse 12. My father peradventure will feel me, and shall speak to him as a deceiver, and shall bring a curse upon me and not a blessing. And his mother said unto him, upon thee be thy curse, my son. Only obey my voice and go fetch them. Verse 14. And he went and fetched and brought them to his mother. And his mother made savory meat, such as his father loved. Verse 15. And Rebekah took good raiment of her eldest son Esau, which were behind the house, and put them upon Jacob her younger son. 16. And she put the skin of the kid of the goat upon his hand, and upon the smooth of his neck. And she gave the savory meat and the bread which she had prepared into the hand of her son. Now pay attention, we're ending at 20. And he came unto him, his father, and said, my father, and he said, here am I. He said, who art thou, my son? 19. And Jacob said unto his father, remember, his father is blind at this time. I am Esau, thy firstborn, he says, and I have done according as thou bidest me. Arise, pray thee, sit and eat of my venison, that thy soul may bless thee. If you are a Christian, read verse 20 together. Ready? 1, 2, 3. And Isaac said unto his son, how is it that thou hast found it so quickly, my son? And he said, because the Lord thy God brought it for me. Watch this. So here is Isaac about to bless his eldest son Esau. And he says, take your weapons that you use for hunting and go to the field. Bring in one of the your catch and make venison so that my soul will be provoked to bless you. And Rebekah, his mother, heard the conversation and she called her younger son Jacob and said, you know what, we are about to deceive our father so that he will bless you instead of Esau. And then he began to discuss the various things that could happen, like my brother is hairy and my father may feel him even though blind. And at the end of it, the mother convinced him, and when he suddenly appeared before his father and disguised himself and said he was Esau, Isaac asked him a question, how is it that you have found it so quickly? That means using the natural course of things, you should not have arrived by this time. Isaac is saying, I am your father. Hunting is something that I understand. Nobody, no matter how skilled, should have actually gone to the forest and to have returned by this time. You need to explain by what mystery did you arrive so fast. Because based on my expectation, I am already prepared to be patient. I know you cannot come by this time. And even though this was deception, the point is the answer he gave his father. And his father agreed with that answer, that is the only condition upon which an individual can return fast. He said, father, I know that under normal circumstances, even though a skilled hunter, it is not given to men unassisted to go to the forest. The skill it takes to monitor these animals, the first assignment of every hunter is to make sure you are not the prey yourself. So you have to study the terrain of the forest to make sure the wild animals that may be stronger than you are at bay. Then number two, the same way animals hunt their prey is how hunters hunt the prey. Remember, there were no guns those days. So you didn't have an advantage of distance to say, okay, I will shoot from a distance. And the father said, no. This is not the first time you are bringing me venison. What happened to you? What did you encounter that was responsible for such thing? And he asked and said, what answer do I give my father? The only answer I know based on what he has taught me is that the Lord brought it to me. Let me speak to somebody. In the name of Jesus Christ, the one who helps men, I prophesy to you by the power of the Holy Spirit that even when men do not expect you to have a life, may in the need that cause you to get here on time. Please sit down. Because the Lord thy God has brought it to me. As soon as he gave Isaac that answer, Isaac found rest. He said, you are right. I know that there are possibilities that cannot happen to men. Honestly said, this is a hunter. And even though he was lying, unfortunately, what we are promoting here is not the state of his heart. What we are promoting is the answer that he gave his father. Father, do not be surprised that at age 20 I have built a house. Do not be surprised that at this level I am taking care of you and your mother. Do not be surprised that ministry is 2 years old and yet God has shown mercy. That there is a possibility in the kingdom that men can outsource a system of advantage called speed. And here Jacob, even though operating unfortunately as a deceiver, is giving us a very powerful lesson that every time you see men demonstrating dominion over time, do not think it strange that a possibility exists in the economy of God where people can have dominion over time. Dominion over time is the highest level of dominion, because write the following things. Number one, the unit of destiny is time. A few thoughts that I want you to get and then we'll continue. The unit of destiny is time. That means you measure destiny as a function of time. The next thought that I want you to have is something I wrote here. I said, under normal circumstances, you may want to write that down. Under normal circumstances, time cannot be reversed once it passes. Remember, I said the unit of destiny is time, and that under normal circumstances, time does not go backward, it only goes forward. That means there is no possibility of going back into yesterday under normal circumstances. Is someone learning already? Another information about time that is worthy of note is that we do not have unlimited time, hence the need for efficiency. That means the time allotted to everyone is limited. You do not have the luxury of unlimited time, hence the need to be efficient. It was the psalmist himself that taught us and said, oh, teach us to number our days, he said, that we may apply our hearts to wisdom. That means the days of a man are countable, no matter how long. Are we together now? So the unit of destiny is time. I said secondly that under normal circumstances, time cannot be reversed once it passes. Number three, that because we have unlimited, we do not have the luxury of unlimited time, there is a need for efficiency. Can I give you one more information? I wrote down here that time can be invested, time can be spent, and time can be wasted. These are the three things we can do with time. Time can be invested, time can be spent, and time can be wasted. Time, just like money, can be invested, time can be spent, and time can be wasted. If God is speaking to you, please say amen. Amen. Let me add one more, then we'll attempt to define speed with respect to our focus tonight. I wrote here that for various reasons, you may want to listen and then write. For various reasons, for instance, ignorance, for instance, carelessness, for instance, demonic factors, for various reasons, many already have time against them. For various reasons, an example, ignorance, an example, carelessness, an example, demonic factors. Many already have time against them. And we give that state many names in the kingdom. Jesus among them is delay and stagnation. When we say a person is experiencing delay or stagnation, these are all linguistic terms that attempt to show to what degree is lacking in time. Are we together now? When we say someone is experiencing delay, that means something is happening to him that is not making efficient use of time. That time is against him. When we say an individual is stagnated, that means there is no motion whatsoever. And like I told you earlier on, you know that you are a victim of delay and stagnation if the only thing growing in your life is your age. So you only continue to celebrate the advancement of your age, but there are no corresponding achievements that justify the gift of that time. Are we together now? If you are learning already, please say amen.
Amen.
These are very important thoughts that we may have, we need to have, to appreciate speed as a system of advantage in the kingdom. If you just talk about speed arbitrarily, chances are excellent that your heart will not be open to see the value until you understand time and its implications. Now let's define speed. I'm not defining speed as physicists and scientists would define them. I'm narrowing my definition to suit the context of our focus tonight. Here's what I wrote as an attempt to help us understand speed. I said speed is defined as your rate of accomplishment with respect to time. Your rate of accomplishment with respect to time. I define speed as your rate of accomplishment with respect to time. Positively so. We are looking at it now in the positive. That means when God grants you an advantage to quantum leap in terms of your achievement with respect to time, it is said that you are experiencing speed. Another way to put it is accelerated accomplishment within a short period of time. I think that is a better expression of it. Accelerated accomplishment within a short period of time. It must be an accelerated accomplishment, and the time has to be short to be called speed. When you study athletes, especially Olympians who run, there's what we call world record, and the assignment of the world record is to see that you are able to cover that distance, that race, within as short a time as possible. Am I right on that? So we have the 100 meters dash, for instance. I do not know exactly what the world record is currently, but I know that whatever it is, there was a record before it. Is that true? And someone outran that record using the factor of speed. May that be your destiny.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Now, the tragedy, unfortunately, is that in Africa, it has become a subliminal programming to frown at speed. In fact, in Africa, it looks to me like the more you seek to manifest speed in your life, you become an instrument of suspicion. So subliminally, we have been programmed to do things late. For instance, if you build a house at 50 or 60, people will clap for you and say, that is fine. In fact, you are even lucky. If for any reason you seem to do much within a short time, they begin to trace you to all kinds of negative factors. And in a way, they are not wrong. Because no man under normal circumstances, if you understood all that we've discussed so far, should be able to accomplish so much in so short a time. If you study success is a composite of many factors. Factors like value, factors like time, is that true? Factors like governmental policies, factors like relationships. So, success is not something that comes easy, speaking from a normal standpoint. This is the reason why it is usually difficult for people to achieve much. For For instance, I may be a very valuable person as Joseph, but if the person who introduced me to Pharaoh forgets, it can add 2 years to my time of waiting. Are we together now? So it is a composite of many factors. That is the reason why it is not unusual. People expect that the variables are so many for you to build time, to keep time, and to achieve so much within such a little time. This is where God comes in. That you go to the forest with your weapons of war, you most likely are not the only hunter who will be there. You most likely may, if there is no guarantee that you have a good catch every day. Is that true? But then he answers his father and says, I came back using the advantage of speed because God brought it to me. So when you find people doing so much within so short a time, it takes a lot of emotional timing to also come to terms. Somehow we religiously believe that God is key. But I think it's not yet a revelation that we have settled in our lives to insist upon. To say, Lord, if it is true that you grant speed, I want to see it working in my life. I want to see it working in my business. Now don't get me wrong. There are many, many things. The law of process is a very potent law. And even though God gives speed, it is dangerous. A believer cannot live his entire life just on speed. If you live your entire life on speed, there is a dimension of wisdom you will never have. Then that is why growth, listen, success that comes from growth, it lasts more than success that comes from inheritance. Because growth will mandate that you subscribe to the law of process. And most times, like we see in our world today, when people inherit things without a track record of growth, there is the knowledge that maintains that bread is not given to them. And so they can lose it all overnight. Are we learning now? So, as we discuss speed, I need to put a disclaimer that this is not an attempt to downplay or to throw away the relevance of timing. You will often hear the Bible says, according to the time of life. Even concerning Jesus in Luke chapter 2 and verse 52, the Bible says, and Jesus increased. It didn't happen overnight. Even though he was the Word incarnate, he needed to go through the process until he was 30 years of age. That was when he began his ministry. However, I am saying that using the natural course of life, take note of the last point that I said, that for many reasons, reasons of ignorance, reasons of carelessness, mismanagement of time, and then demonic factors most importantly, many people already using their current state, time is already against you. I'll give you an instance. If you get born again at age 50, congratulations for your salvation, but you are already in trouble because it takes a long time to know God. It's going to probably take you a lot of years to argue about the gift of the Holy Spirit until you finally open up yourself to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Then another prolonged time, if you are fortunate to be under a sound church that emphasizes doctrine like this, then it may accelerate your growth rate. But if you are allowed to finance your spiritual growth, you are in another kind of trouble again. Because it's going to take you, even if you are serious with God, it will still take a bit of time to grow. It takes a while to know God. Hallelujah. So when are you going to learn all the principles of the kingdom, then begin to apply them? Are we together now? There are many people who are at a point of disadvantage right now. If you come from a family, say for instance, a family of 13 children, and you are the first and only person who had the privilege to go to school, I hope you know you are still not free. No. In Africa, you are not free. You will be joking to imagine that you are free. No, you are not free because you have to outsource an intelligence to remedy the other lives that could not have your advantage first before you now start dealing with yourself. That is based on the assumption that you will never have retrogression, based on the assumption that you will have found the key in maintaining your victory if and when God prospers you. So it is a very costly assumption and a risk to ignore this system of advantage called sin. Someone say the name of Jesus. Please shout the gate, say the name of Jesus. I declare that speed begins to work in my life from tonight. Hallelujah. That men will ask you and say, sir, I know that it takes 20 years for a business to even gain its footing in Nigeria. What happened to you that with dignity, the dignity of kingdom integrity, in 3 years, you're already rising above the brands within the nation and across? When that happens, make sure you do not forget to give them the answer of Jacob. The only difference is that you will not be lying like him. What you will be saying is the truth. That you will be saying is because God gave me an edge, he gave me an advantage. Someone says, speed. Let your destiny hear you say, speed. Are we together? So let me recap for one moment on all that I've said concerning speed. That the unit of destiny is time. Number two, that under normal circumstances, time cannot be reversed once it passes. Take note of my expression, under normal circumstances, because as you will be learning in the economy of God, there is still a way that time can be reversed. That is what makes him God. The ability to have dominion and to exert it over time. Number three, that we do not have unlimited time, hence the need for efficiency. Fourth, that time can be invested, spent, or wasted. Finally, I did say that for various reasons, many already have time against them. Delay and stagnation are the names that we have chosen to give these things. Hallelujah. But then, according to Scripture, the Bible shows us that there are two scriptural remedies for delay and stagnation in the life of a man. That if for any reason you find yourself behind time, all hope is not lost. Are we together now? That there is still a way in God's economy to be able to gain time. And there are two systems of advantage that have been programmed by God to help us regain time. Number one is called restoration. Number two is called speed. Please write it down. These are the two systems of advantage we find in Scripture that can help the saints, regardless the setback that time has brought for them. I don't know who I'm speaking to, but in the name of Jesus, God brought you to this conference to collide with these two forces, the force of restoration and the force of speed. I will discuss a bit more on restoration during the impartation service tomorrow. And by the way, let me let my voice to the apostle to plead with us, invite everybody and come with a heart that is expectant. Because as you will be learning, he said, God gave it to me. But I will be putting it in context shortly. What he meant by God gave it to me is what Elijah said, the hand of the Lord came upon me. That the hand of the Lord can come upon a man and can grant him. Show us the ancient path, lead us along eternal highway. We want to follow the ways of Jesus. We want to enter your rest. Will you show us the ancient path? Will you lead us along the eternal highway? We want to follow the footsteps of Jesus. We want to enter your rest. God is opening someone's eyes. As I'm teaching right now, some of you are just thinking about your family and your lineage and your background and saying, my father only knew this. He was a sincere man, but he did not know that all hope is not lost for the believer. Now you understand what the Bible meant when it said, for all things work together. There is always something that can be added to the equation of your life that translates your tragedy into an advantage. The force of restoration. What does it mean to restore? Let me just touch on it. To restore means to bring back moments as though a constraint never happened. Restoration is not progress. No. When we say something has been restored, it means that it becomes the way it would have been if there were no prior constraint. An example of restoration is what happened to Naaman. The Bible says when he washed, this was a man whose skin was once like a baby, but for some reason, something happened to his health, and he deteriorated to a point where he was, you know, his skin was not a good sight to behold. And now, having washed himself 7 times in Jordan, the Bible records that his skin became, that is not healing, that is restoration. Another example of restoration is Ezekiel 37, the exceeding great army. That was not healing, that was restoration, because they were once in a state of honor and joy, and then something happened. Every time there is a deterioration of any sort, the assignment of restoration is to restore it back as if that constraint never happened. So, for instance, you lost money, for instance, you lost your job, for instance, you lost your house. If you have a job immediately you graduated, now it's 20, 30 years, you probably would have been a senior executive. The assignment of restoration is to upgrade your status so that the person who got a job and you that did not get it, when they look at your life, we cannot see the debt and the constraint. That is the assignment of restoration. Are we together? Do you believe what I'm sharing? But let's discuss speed. That is what we're discussing tonight. Speed. Accelerated accomplishments within a short period of time. I want to give you very quickly 3 keys. Because like I told you, the mysteries of the kingdom are activated by engaging keys. The assignment of a key is to grant you access. This beautiful auditorium has a number of doors, and for every one of these doors, especially the doors that lead to the outside, they usually can be closed or open. Am I correct on that? And the authorized way to access a door is by engaging the right key, not by using a key. You can use a wrong key, it is a key, but you will still remain outside. Are we together now? Jesus said to us, and I will give you the keys of the kingdom. It's not just a key, the keys of the kingdom. Please, if you can, I want you to pray in the spirit in the next 1 minute and say, Lord, open my eyes. As these keys come, may I find them for the sake of my children, for the sake of my ministry. Someone is praying for the sake of my business, my organization, especially if you are in a state right now where things are not going right the way it should be. Please pray. The keys that control speed. Hallelujah. Are you ready for it? Please lend your attention for the next 10-15 minutes and lend your destiny your attention, because I submit to you by the integrity of the Word of God that if you take these keys and you handle them with intelligence, you will marvel and wonder at what your life becomes. This is true. Hallelujah. Isaiah chapter 60 and verse 1 says, arise and shine. It says, for your light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. Every time I quote it in this church, I like to quote from the Amplified. It says, arise from the depression and the frustration that circumstances affect you. It says, rise to a new light. Hallelujah. The first key that controls the key, according to scripture and in the life of a believer, is wisdom. Please write it down. Wisdom. Wisdom is the first key that controls in administering speed. There is a relationship between walking in wisdom and walking in speed. In Matthew chapter 25, give us from verse 1. We know it as the parable of the 10 virgins. The parable of the 10 virgins is a very concise description of the role of wisdom and folly in opening and closing doors, scheduling seasons of speed or otherwise. That story is a very interesting story because all 10 were virgins. So it's not about speed or righteousness. All of them were virgins. The entire text of the story is about wisdom or the absence of it. For sake of time, let me just recap on it, but the full text is found in verse 1 to 13. You may write for reference. 25, verse 1 to 13. So the Bible says the kingdom of heaven is likened unto 10 virgins. And it says they took their lamps and they went forth to meet the bridegroom. So there was something, a duty to do. And they were to go and meet the bridegroom. And the Bible says, among those 10, it says 5 of them carry extra oil. All of them had lamps. 5 of them carry extra oil, and the other 5, they didn't expect the bridegroom to stay so long. That is why delay is dangerous. If the bridegroom came early, there would not be an issue of fight. It was the delay of the bridegroom that separated people to see the value of wisdom or foolishness. So delay is what really reveals who is wise or who is foolish. At the start of life, everybody looks wise. But the delay of the bridegroom now shows the advantage that five had that the other ones did not have. Are we together? The Bible says the bridegroom tarried more than usual. Doesn't that look like how life works sometimes? You expect certain things to happen, but just the natural course of life. Things are delayed. It was the delay of Prophet Samuel that mounted pressure upon Saul to go and perform priestly duties, and he lost his place as king. Delay is dangerous. When we begin to pray, I like to pray with all your heart and to curse the spirit of delay. But then, more than the fear of delay, the Bible tells us that there is an antidote that prepares you in advance. So that even when delay comes, you are immune to it. It is wisdom. What happened to the first 5? What will happen to the second 5? The difference is that the first 5 took out time to honor wisdom. Many people have dishonored wisdom to their detriment. Many have skill. Many have found a way to. But they have not taken out time to honor the place of wisdom. The Bible speaking says in Proverbs, "Doth not wisdom cry?" Wisdom cries, asking for those who are single-hearted to come. The Bible says, "Get," he says, "wisdom is the principal thing. That in all your getting, get wisdom, and in all your getting, get understanding." He says, "Exalt her, and she shall promote you. She shall bring an ornament, a crown of glory upon your head when thou dost embrace her." You can reject wisdom, and sadly, many have done so to their detriment. Are we learning now? Wisdom. Wisdom. So the 5 carry extra oil. And the others took for granted. I'm sure they expected that no, the bridegroom is too responsible to come late. The same way you say, "My boss, is it possible for me to lose my job?" No, I can't lose my job. I know that there is a place for faith confession. But when you are operating in the cosmos, the values are men dependent. And you must be able to factor in that. For instance, the man who says, "No, I have 5 children and I know my salary is more than enough to pay their school fees. I will never think of setting up a financial system that helps children in case." COVID was like the bridegroom. It came and tested the wisdom of otherwise of many people. Are we together? Every once in a while on earth, we have plagues or tragedies that befall men, and every one of these is a test of wisdom. There seem to be people who have placed value on wisdom, regardless of the vicissitudes of life. They still are able to gain time. When you look at their life, you do not see the depth of delay or retrogression because of wisdom. I'm praying for someone. Whatever has made you to neglect wisdom, in the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of the Living God, may that grace for wisdom be imparted upon you. Listen to me. It is wisdom to study the lives of those who have gone ahead of you. It is wisdom to have strategic, valuable relationships, because all blessings you may have heard in this come from God through men to men. You may want to write that down. All blessings, I don't care what it is, it comes from God through men to men. That means if God says yes and men say no, your yes will remain in the realm of the spirit. It will never manifest in your life. The Bible says the heaven of heavens belongs to the Lord, but the earth has been given to the sons of men. Unfortunately, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, when it comes to accepting wisdom and intelligence for commanding dominion within the cosmos, we are largely bankrupt. We do not understand the place of relationships. We do not understand some of these strategic things that grant the saints and grant men in general an advantage in life. You may have heard me say, for instance, that who hates you in this kingdom does not matter, but believe me, who loves you matters. A king hates a woman and she stops being queen immediately. The king loves a village girl from Shushan and she becomes queen immediately. David falls in love with a crippled man called Mephibosheth to honor Saul, and that man steps into royalty immediately. A midwife becomes careless at the point of delivery and renders someone with a great destiny to be crippled forever. Mephibosheth was not careless. He was a baby who was mismanaged by a midwife. Midwives are those who transmit your seasons, and if they are careless, they can cripple you, even though you are well intentioned. Don't say men do not matter. There are many destinies that have been tied down because the midwife may stand you to your parents because they were not born again, you were not born again until maybe you went to school or trouble struck you and you found God by yourself. Imagine if you were saved at this school, it would have been an advantage for you. Is someone learning? I have learned as a principle that foolishness has a price that many people cannot pay. Most people do not know how expensive foolishness is. The price of foolishness is heavy. I choose the way of wisdom. I choose the way of wisdom. What is the way of wisdom? Follow them who through faith and patience have obtained the promise. What is the way of wisdom? And that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scripture, which is able to make you wise unto salvation. Are we learning? Experience is wonderful, but experience can be very subjective. The variables that need to be in place for the overall excelling of an individual's life are so many, and they differ. They differ based on gender, culture, context, experience. That is the reason why you need to trust Scripture above and beyond your mind. Here's what the Bible says, Proverbs chapter 3 from verse 5. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart, and it says, to lean not on your own understanding. So it acknowledges that you have understanding. It does not say to throw it away, but it says to lean not on your own understanding. The next verse says, in all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. Verse 7 says, be not wise in your own eyes. It says, fear the Lord and turn away from evil. My life is too short to experiment my way to greatness. The Bible is a compendium of men who rose from nothing to the highest level of achievement that God can bring a man. And guess what the Bible says? That the things that are written aforetime, it says that they are for our learning, so that we through patience and the comfort of Scripture might find hope. That means some mistakes do not need to be repeated. It's unnecessary. It's unnecessary to ignore God, because that is the greatest expression of foolishness. The Bible says only a fool will say his heart, there is no God. So the moment you get to that point when you start depending on your ability as though there were no God, the Bible says the name of that state is not just an attack, it is foolishness, and it has a price. And by the way, you can be rich and still be foolish. There is a story of a man who showed the possibility of those two words coexisting in the life of a man. It was a story of the rich. It will never be. You can't join rich and fool, but that's what men can do. Men can create hybrids of problems that rich is supposed to be a product of wisdom. Is that true? Wisdom. Begin to pursue wisdom. Buy books. Learn. Don't take steps in ignorance. It is an act of foolishness. The moment you are bankrupt of sufficient knowledge, stop moving. Your confidence is predicated on the knowledge that supports your action, not your action. Action in ignorance is only recycling pain. Let me repeat myself. Action is very important, but action in ignorance will only program and recycle pain. No matter how much in a hurry you want to be, be sure that there is sufficient proven knowledge that supports your action. Are we together? Wisdom. Let's hurry up. Key number two. If someone is learning, say amen. Yeah. You see why it's beautiful to come to church? The Bible says, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go to the house of the Lord. Why? Because the house of the Lord is a place that we find wisdom. It says, in your light we see light. Someone will be walking out of this conference this night wiser, knowing that this is the key. The next key that activates speed in the life of a believer is called favor. Please write it down. Number one is wisdom. Number two is favor. For the sake of time, I'll give us one verse. Exodus chapter 12, please, and verse 36. When we have it projected, I'd like that we read in concert. Exodus 12, 36. Exodus 12, 36. Ready? One to read. And the Lord gave the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians, so that they lent to them such things as they required, and they called the Egyptians. One day God will grant us grace to talk again. And on that day we'll deal with this issue of favor. I don't know how people live without favor. It's like living without air. Favor is not an option. No matter what is wrong in your life, the absence of favor should not be one of them. The number one reason why people succeed in life and destiny, ladies and gentlemen, is because of the presence of favor. For many of you who can listen to my teaching on favor, I have shared a few thoughts about favor. One of it is that I attempted to explain why most people do not experience favor in their life. Our mainstream definition of favor is the very reason why we do not experience the favor of God. Because largely, and respectfully speaking, across the body of Christ, the definition of favor that we know is unmerited access. And while that is not a lie, that is a very incomplete definition. Because favor is multidimensional. Don't get me wrong. That definition is very important. I am only saying that more must be added to it if you want to see the full picture of favor. Favor is multidimensional, and not all dimensions are unmerited. There are merited dimensions of favor. For instance, Proverbs 13:15. The Bible says, put understanding for purest favor. It says, for the way of the transgressor is hard. Is that in your Bible? Good understanding can procure favor. This kind of favor is mentioned because it's the harvest that came from investing in good understanding, like you are doing now. It took good understanding for you to come to seek to learn. Now you will learn and receive impartation from your man of God. You will return back with doors of favor opening. You will only be grateful but not surprised that favor is possible in your life. Are we together? Let me show you based on scripture God's portrait of favor. If you do not find, there are three forces that if they are not at work in your life, favor is not at work in your life. Please write it down if you want to write. Number one, unusual kindness. Number two, unusual acceptance. Number three, unusual access. These tripartite forces must simultaneously be at work in an individual's life. These are the necessary and sufficient conditions as far as the manifestation of favor is concerned. One more time, unusual kindness. Write it down, please. Number two, unusual acceptance. Number three, unusual access. If your life is deficient of any of these three, it is not favor. If it is favor at work in your life, it manifests as unusual kindness. Number two, it manifests as unusual acceptance. Number three, it manifests as unusual access. Now you will understand Exodus chapter 12 and verse 36. Can you imagine, ladies and gentlemen, that the nation of Israel at this time had been in captivity under Pharaoh, different kinds of Pharaohs? These were the people who were not even given the liberty to have straw. Remember, they used to give them straw. But when Moses began to advocate their exodus in anger, Pharaoh said, well, I think it's because we are giving you straw for free. You will now go and begin to look for it. Straw that will help in building Egypt, not their houses. What suddenly came upon Pharaoh that the Bible says after 430 years, he turns around and as though under the influence of some diabolicity, the Bible says they spoil them. Do you know what it means to spoil? To spoil means to keep as you desire. They were not given, they spoil them. When people go for war and they defeat their enemies, like it happened in Samaria, remember the prophecy in Samaria? That is a spoil. You don't pick a spoil at the mercy of the victim. You pick as much as you desire. So when the Bible says they spoil the Egyptians, first that the Egyptians lend to them. Who told you the man who hated you yesterday cannot love you tomorrow? It depends on what is on your head. If Pharaoh, under the influence of the spirit that controlled Egypt, would look at enemies that he refused to allow, he took 10 plagues and the death of his son. And all of a sudden, he's asking them to go. The Bible says they did not even allow their door to rise. He said, go, and go in a hurry. And to tell him it was divine. After they left, Pharaoh said to Elijah, what suddenly came upon me? Pursue them. I think I made a mistake. In Jesus' name, may the influence of favor come on someone. And listen, by that manifestation of favor, you will find the most unusual people interested in investing into your life for reasons that you yourself may not be able to. Hallelujah. Do you believe what I'm saying? Psalms 44 and verse 3. My Bible says they got not the land in possession by their own sword. He says, neither did their arms save them. Psalm 44 verse 3. He says, for thy right hand and thy arm and the light of thy countenance, because thou showest a favor towards them. Exodus chapter 3 and verse 21. And I will give these people favor in the sight of the Egyptians, and it shall come to pass that as ye go, ye shall not go empty. Luke chapter 2 and verse 52. And Jesus increased in wisdom, he increased in stature, and even though he was the one incarnate, he needed to increase in favor with God and with men. Hallelujah. Oh, I believe in favor. I don't know who God is speaking to. You have been crying from January to now. God is showing that the reason your company has remained stagnated in spite of your family. Your life has remained stagnated. It looks like no one is there to attend unto you. Woe betide a man who calls for help left and right, and there's nobody to answer you. You know the proof of favor is not money. It takes more than money. The proof of favor is the heart of men and dear towards you. That you call upon a man and nations will answer and come to your rescue. There are great people today in ministry who are stagnated and they cannot experience peace because no one has considered their life worthy of the investment of their resources, their credibility, and every other thing. You can be Joseph. If you do not have favor with Pharaoh, you will still remain in the past. There was a man called Nehemiah in the Bible. Please sit down. We'll find somewhere to pray shortly. There was a man called Nehemiah in the Bible. And the Bible tells us that that man was a cupbearer. Is that true? That his work was to wait upon the king and to serve the king. But because the favor of God was upon Nehemiah, one day the king looked at his countenance and said, Nehemiah, I care so much about you. Why is it that your countenance is saddened? And Nehemiah said, I am here serving you, and I hear that the wall of Jerusalem is not being built. And immediately, without asking, the Bible says the king took it upon himself to write letters and make every resource available for Nehemiah. Nehemiah went and began to do his building. And when he began to build, there were two men who came called Sanballat and Tobias. They came and their assignment was to cause delay in his life. But the Bible says Nehemiah invented a strategy for building. With one hand he used the sword, but with the other hand he built. If both of your hands are only your building tools, you are in the flesh, you will not finish that building. One hand must hold the word of God, your spirituality, while the other hand now holds your technical skill. This is the mistake that most people make. They throw away the sword, which is the word of God, and say, after all, I have an enemy. And I'm not looking down on your pedigree, but I'm saying, in this world, you need the sword and the skill together. And there are others who hold the sword with both hands. And unfortunately, as powerful as the sword is not the instrument that is used to build. The sword secures and protects you while you build. Is someone learning tonight? So anyway, I'm talking about favor. Listen to me. Unusual kindness. Unusual acceptance. Unusual access. The village girl hears that the king had lost his queen, drove her because of rebellion, and they summoned all the virgins around the 127 provinces of the king. And her uncle Mordecai, who served the king at the gate, said, well, let me give my little girl a chance, an adventure. Don't be surprised that the king can not be village here. And he carries that small girl and she joins the many virgins. And the Bible said they were kept under the custody of Hagar, the one who keeps and prepares the women for the king. And Hagar comes to Esther and says, listen, I've worked with the king for many years. I know what he wants. Forget about all the rehearsals that other women are doing. I will give you a kind of oil. Keep rubbing on your body for 1 year. After that, go and see the king. I call it the Esther anointing. The Bible says in Esther chapter 2 and verse 18. He said, "An Esther of things beautiful in the sight of all them that looked upon her." Provided you set your gaze on Esther, it was like a charm that would come upon you. You were compelled to become endeared to her. And then to show you that it is a potent force, in verse 17 of the same chapter 2, the Bible says, "And the king," it was 3:7, chapter 2 and verse 17, Esther, it says, "And the king loved Esther more than above all the virgins." That means before her arrival, he was conceiving others. But as soon as Esther showed up, the king of God had seen other people.
My God and His name is Yahweh. His name is Yahweh. Is my God and His name is Yahweh. His name is Yahweh.
Now king, and David makes a very disturbing statement. He said, "Is there any man left in the house of Saul? I want to show someone kindness." Now he sees the vision of favor laying out there. "I want to show you kindness." They said, "There is none." But he called a man called Ziba. And if you read your Bible carefully, the Bible tells us that Ziba had 15 sons. Any one of them would have been favored, but no. He said, "I want you to go to the house of Saul. No matter the disadvantage you find there, fetch whoever is there and bring the person to the palace." And now Ziba goes to a place called Lodeba. And he went to pick a crippled man called Mephibosheth, a victim of the carelessness of a big wife. No name, but her carelessness was imminent in the life of this gentleman. Even though he was in the palace, he never went. Now they bring him to the palace, and the Bible tells us that he looked at him and said, "On account of Saul, my honorable Saul, you are going to be here and deal with him, and Ziba, your 15 sons will be farming for this guy while he is there." How do you explain that kind of thing? Can I tell you, if every part of your life can be explained, God is not asking. If every part of your life can be explained logically and intellectually, it is proof that you are moving in the strength of the flesh. There has to be a mystery component to your life that only the intelligence, the size of God, can see that equation. As you look at the equation of your life and see 1 plus 1 plus 1 plus 1, then if I see equal to 200, from my practice, you know that there has to be a missing people there. There are many of us, our lives are too ordinary and natural, too predictable even by unbelievers. You need to introduce the God factor. That someone can look at your life and add the values of your life from a village somewhere in the West here, plus being raised by someone not having a father and mother alive. Now, not having a job for the 10 years of your life, how did you become this wealthy that you now have a foundation? How did you become this? And then you tell them that's the point. That missing point is really my message. My message is to tell you that God is able to pick a man from a donkey. Honestly, I'm saying it from the depth of my heart. For someone, even if you will see that from today and begin to wonder at your life. I am the children that the Lord has given me of Bible students. He says we are for times and for wonders in Israel. Now someone will look at you and without telling you a member of Victory Life, you will help to stay in Victory Life because there will be a consistent prayer of the manifestation of the favor of God. In the name of Jesus, may that be your testimony. I studied favor. I dedicated a whole month in my life to study and pray favor. Because I didn't come from a territorial background, from a sociological factor, territorial factor. There was not much that was an advantage like that. And I knew that if I had to do ministry with the dignity of kingdom integrity, I would be outsourced in a serious force called Pharaoh. The world is too wicked to assume people will help you. It is flattery and deception to imagine that without the force of favor, people will leave their own businesses and stand up to invest their integrity, their resources, and their attention to your life. No. That is the thinking of a middle class. People are too selfish and too wicked. It takes an anointing to compel them to keep their lives aside and now begin to dedicate themselves. Once upon a time, two gentlemen, or at least a few gentlemen, took a crippled man and insisted that that man would be healed that day. We never see the man praying and say, "Help me." We just know that a few friends came together and said, "Even if you tear the roof, we will discuss with the house owner later on." But as far as a good man in your life, you can see that you must get a job this year. And while you are sleeping, they are awake. And you are wondering, you are almost afraid because you are trying to say, "I hope there's nothing attached." And they tell you, "I don't even know why. I don't exactly like you. But there is an influence, there is a force." May that be your testimony. It is very difficult for men of God to share testimonies today in the house of God because of the ignorance and the childishness that people find across the body of Christ. Sometimes, when you want to share testimonies as a way of motivating believers to see the possibilities that exist in the kingdom, people can easily misunderstand it for Christ. So most times, we just leave it low so that we are not purported to be, you know, arrogant. But it's terrible because testimonies are powerful. They help you to think practically, not just from scripture, but we personify the possibilities of the kingdom in the life of our individual. But we can spend all night as I attempt to read testimonies for you, like someone reading a book for someone who's about to sleep. We can open page after page and show you what God is doing. And in the name of Jesus, for someone, you will sit down and spend the whole night with your wife just talking testimony. Yeah. And you will not refuse any one of them. That is because of the fastest. Testimonies colliding with testimonies. Do you mean what I'm saying? Favor. My time is up. Let me give you the last one. This is very important. The last key that controls me. Next time you see someone enjoying sweet and you say you are lucky, now you can mark yourself. Lucky? Has anything I've said sound like lucky? You can see the difference between someone who has it activated in their lives and otherwise. There is no lucky in this thing. It's a product of understanding. The last key that controls the manifestation of speed in the life of a believer is speed-provoking prayers. Speed-provoking prayers. Let's go to scripture now. The mandate shall be raised. Your influence is all over me. I am under the shadow of your wings. Your influence is all over me. I lay it, I know. I am victorious. I have overcome. I am victorious. I have overcome. 1 Kings chapter 18, we'll begin our reading from verse 42. Does prayer, speed-provoking prayer, does it have any role to play as far as programming the climate of sin. Let scripture speak for itself. And now, verse 12, let's start from verse 12. 18 and verse 42, my apologies. 18 and 42. 18 and 42, alright. It says, so Ahab went up to eat and drink, and Elijah went up to the top of Carmel. The Bible says, and he cast himself down upon the earth. Is that in your Bible? And put his face in between his feet. Remember, before then, he had told them, he said, go and eat. And now, he's beginning to pray and provoke the heavens to send rain after 3.5 years of drought. And he said to his servant, he said, go up, look towards the sea. And he went up and looked, and he said, there is nothing. You would think that when he said there was nothing, Elijah would get up and say, God, I called upon you once and fire came. What is now wrong with you that I'm praying? He called on fire once and fire came. Now he's praying. And he said, go and check. And he said, nothing. He said, I know this works. Regardless of the result, I will stay. I know that I can provoke heaven to send rain through prayer. The Bible says, this is 7 times. Read it to 46, 44. And it came to pass at the 7th time that he said, there ariseth a little cloud out of the sea, like a man's hand. And he said, go and say to Ahab, prepare your chariot. That means I have been able to use prayer to pull down the realities of the realm of the spirit. Now it is at the brink of manifestation in the physical. Ahab, use the best of your chariot as king. You have an advantage because the best chariot belongs to you as king. Use it now and begin to run. Otherwise, the rain will come so fast it may catch up with you. It says 45. I like this. And it came to pass in the meantime that the heaven was black with clouds and wind, and there was great rain. And Ahab rode and went to Jesus. You are a Christian, please convincingly read verse 46 with me. 1, 2, 3. And the hand of the Lord was on Elijah, and he girded on his loins and ran before Ahab to the entrance of Jesus. Let me help you unpack what the Bible just says here. That a man is praying and praying and praying, and he gets the note of victory that rain is coming, and that it is coming so fast. And he tells the king, use the advantage you have as a king, the best of your chariots. And now Elijah is left in a supposed disadvantage. No chariot, no nothing. But the Bible says, the hand of the Lord suddenly came upon the prophet. And you know how a woman, you know how women tie their, you know, that wrapper, and he tied his girdle. And all of a sudden you are hearing a sound like horses, and you turn back as a king and see a prophet running on barefoot, and he will overtake you before you get to Jesus. What kind of grace is that? Can I tell you? The most important thing is for you to arrive, not the arrival of the horse. If you are waiting for a chariot, sometimes God may not need to bring a chariot. He can make you the chariot. God, I am trusting that you will give me a job. If you are God, let me get a job. And God, it may not be a job that comes, but an idea can come. That in 3 months, you are already employing 10,000 people. I am victorious. A man can stand at a point of disadvantage. I know you don't have a job. Some of you are crying. Don't be ashamed of your dreams. That right where you are, you can lock yourself and train yourself out of certain things. Let me tell you, many people are not yet tired of suffering. Many people are not yet tired of pity. There is something that happens to a human spirit at the point of pain. There is a day you look to yourself and say, I am tired of my wife feeding me, my children feeding me. The Bible says, any man that cannot cater for his family has denied the faith and is more than an infidel. I know she's faithful, she's doing her job, but Lord, it's time to take my place as a man. You may not know what to do, but you can pray to know what to do. James chapter 5 and verse 13, Apostle James is teaching us the dynamics of victory in the Spirit. And he says, is any man afflicted? He says, let him pray. Then he says, the perfect and effectual prayer of the righteous availeth much. Now, he uses our Saint Elijah as an example to testify the power of prayer. He says, Elijah was a man of like passion as we are, but he prayed earnestly. That means there was no advantage in the life of Elijah by default. It was not because he was a prophet. Why is this family this way? Why is it that everybody comes to favor us, but the next day looks like they forget us? You can turn every place upside down in your house and say, I'm not tasting anything until I find answers for my destiny. You see, let me tell you something. Proverbs 18 and verse 1, the Bible says, a man, he said, through desire, a man, having separated himself, seeketh and intermingleth with all wisdom. Lord, I am called. I'm a man of character and grace, but there is nobody to come and support me in the work of the ministry. This is pushing me to the corridor of compromise. There has to be a way out, and you can pray. And pray and check, and nobody has come. And pray again. Pray again. Pray again. What is this delay in my life and my destiny? I started a building since 2001. That building was at Lincoln level to the still at Lincoln level to today. And I started it as I got a job. I am still a director today, yet I have not been able to complete that house. It then means there are forces of darkness that want me to reproduce the failure of my predecessors. Let me tell you, the Bible says, say unto God, how terrible art thou in your ways. It says, through the greatness of thy power shall thy enemies submit themselves to you. The Bible does not give us in the darkness the fact that the whole world lies in the darkness. It takes spiritual naivety to tour this earth under the assumption that no force will be concerned about you. Even for Jesus, he said, take and come to me, and did not find anything. Let me give you one scripture that establishes our prayer point for tonight. Has God spoken to you? Psalms 109. As I was studying for this conference, I found that scripture and it blessed me so much. 109 from verse 26 and 24. May I please request that we read together when we have it projected? Psalm 109, 26 and 27. Okay, are you ready? One, two, three. Help me, O Lord my God. Oh, save me according to your mercy. Verse 27. That they may know that this is thy hand. Lord, do it in a way that there will be no confusion that you are the one that did it. Listen. Now let me end from where I started. This God, how come you have become so fast? How come you are in a bell put up and in spite of all the limitations of your family, you still are excelling? This is the answer. I accept help from heaven. That the hand of the Lord came upon me and began to help me rewrite the negative narrative. Someone right where you are, I'd like you to open your mouth and begin to pray. This is the season for speed. Help me, O Lord, the psalmist said. Help me, O Lord. Someone is praying. Stop breaking it back up, just like I'm trying to get back. Just 1 minute to pray. Let it be from the depth of your heart. wisdom. Wisdom. Superior wisdom. That helps me to be kind and accept the needs of all time. Granting access to favor. Men investing their credibility, investing their attention towards my life. Now, O God, I pray, arise like a mighty God and God. In so much faith, if the town shall arise, and have mercy upon Zion, for the time to favor us. The fact that they deliver, the time to favor us. Yea, the same time, man of God, the time to favor you. Everything you know in your life that stands as failure or stagnation, mention that area and begin to pray. And say, Father, speak. I trust the spirit of faith. Go ahead, open your mouth. Don't be silent. Don't be silent. Don't be silent. Don't be silent. Because it was customary in those days that once in a year, an angel of the Lord would come to stir the water, and whoever enters first, everybody say, enters first. It was a subject of speed, not motion. Whoever enters first, that is the person who will receive a miracle. And then there was a certain man, the Bible says, who had the ability to take action. But he never had the privilege of speaking. And even though he had action, but because of the bankruptcy of speech, his days continue to multiply in that place until he got to 38 years. I'm sure after 4 years he would have said, I'll be patient. I know by the fifth and sixth year. Can I tell you, ladies and gentlemen, time does not change anything. Time only remains. Waiting for time to change things is a total waste of time. You engage the forces of the spirit to change any negative thing. Now the Bible says at a certain time, watch this now, that Jesus came there and Jesus now asked the man a question and said, would you be made whole? Then the man replies and he says, I have no man. Apostle Jesus Christ, he never said, I have no strength. The reason why I've not been able to find speech is that I have no man. That means for every man who overtook me, there was a man that has strength. Establishing your next prayer point. Father, I don't know who you need to send prophetically in my life to offer that assistance and grant to me. Please open your mouth and pray. Send them over. Send them over. Take away this place of shame, this place of reproach in my life. I have no man to say. I have no man to say. I have no man to say. I have no man to grant me the Lord. I have no man to give me the business advice. I have no man to introduce me to any authority. I have no man. I know that you will reach the sacrifice for I'm giving my voice. The apostle over his house. We may not have the time, we have to honor and respect the time I was to lose to do the impartation to pray. I will explain to you further tomorrow what it means for the hand of the Lord to come upon a man. The hand of the Lord coming upon a man is the ministry of the anointing. Because the right hand of God is power. Hallelujah. Men do not just run. I'll be showing you the scripture that the psalmist said, by you I will run to it. He says, by my God I will sleep over you all. That there is a grace that can bring down Jericho in one. There is a grace that can grab men. The Bible says, as soon as Jesus spoke to the sea and said, Shalom, the sea, he said, immediately they were at the other side. Read your Bible. Immediately they were at the other side. These are the forces that control dominion over time. And there are people here in this place right now. Listen very carefully before I speak. Please let me a minute. I don't want to take for granted that there is someone who came to church. Perhaps you are a member of the church or you were invited to come to a different conference. Remember, the reason why the man remained stagnated there was he said, I am no man. And the man Jesus left heaven and came to meet the various people who have been around the Bethesda's life, not able to make any progress. He did not just come as God, he came as the incarnate of the Father, the man Jesus. And he's come to offer assistance. And guess what he says? The thief cometh not but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. He says, but I have come that he may have life, and that you will have more abundantly. Is that true? There are people here who perhaps you have not really paid attention to the subject of placing your faith upon Jesus genuinely and sincerely beyond the rituals of church and religion. And then there are others who are saying, Apostle, I remember giving my life to Jesus, but sincerely as it is right now, my life has gone haywire. The vicissitudes of life, the challenges of life have beat down my passion, and I need to rededicate my life. I'm working on one time. I'm going to make a call, 1 to 5, wherever you are. I want you to win that war finally. It took the man to help the man at Bethesda. And in this case, Jesus has come as that man. He said, come unto me, all ye that are weary and heavy laden, and he says, I will give you rest. He says, there remaineth a rest for the people of God, that today if you hear his voice, he says, do not harden your hearts like they did in the wilderness. I'm going to come 1 to 5. And do not wait for anyone to be your first. The Holy Spirit is convicting you and speaking to you. It's called a holy convocation. And if this modern assembly is giving you an opportunity to make it right with Jesus, wherever you are, whether you are following online across the globe, or you are watching by way of television or rebroadcast, or you are in this auditorium, Jesus is calling you. I'll make that call. I'm waiting for that one person who loves Jesus more than your reputation, who will not say no to the voice of the Spirit. As I begin my counting, please make your way to the front wherever you are. I begin my counting now. 1. Let's celebrate them as they come. 2. Don't be afraid, don't be afraid. This is like this is the best of my people at all.
Prayer, and in Jesus' name you will experience it in your life.